What led up to the very first song you wrote?
I suppose really attempting to be a songwriter came for me in two ways. One was, you always have your teachers that are a little older than you or whatever that have done something. As a kid playing in bands, there were little older bands playing. They were famous in my mind, and the most famous in my mind was Jim Edgar and the Roadrunners. Jim Edgar's from Perry, still alive. Arguably one of the greatest singers Oklahoma's ever had. Just never quite pulled off the national scene, almost. But great bands. We were on the tail end of that thing, of Jim Edgar and the Roadrunners, and out of Kansas, the Red Dogs and the Flippers. In Stillwater, we had the Magnificent Seven. Shadow Lake Eight was a band. A lot of those bands were horn bands with outfits and a girl singer. Pretty fast, I felt like their road they were on only took them to Las Vegas to be a Las Vegas act. So I said twofold, but threefold. To be on this Ronnie K show, can't put too fine a point on it, to be on the Ronnie K show and generally the Danny Williams show, you lip-synced, just like American Bandstand, meaning you had to record. Well, we're all bands. We don't have any records. So we all went to Gene Sullivan's Hi-Fi studio in Oklahoma City, which is where Leon and Cale and David Gates and Markham and all those people had started their recording process or learning experience. And so did we. We went to Gene Sullivan. So recording, and then, you know, going back to those Bob Wills and Hank Williams records, records was what I wanted to do, recording. And it wasn't too hard to grasp that writing songs was the thing. And it also was that period now, mid to late 60s, when singer-songwriters were starting to happen. So we have recording as a thing. We have the Heroes and the Magnificent Seven, I think, which played a club in Stillwater called Spavs. They're the first experience I had of somebody sitting in a club and playing every week. They were the house band. That's what they did. That's all they did. We were playing any gig we could get, mostly fraternity parties and high school proms. We played on the weekends, but every Friday and Saturday was where we playing. Ronnie K's, WKY, what was called Sock Ops dances promoted by the disc jockeys. So I think it was the Magnificent Seven, but Jim Edgar was also making records at Gene's. They were trying to make real records. Well, I was, in a way, just recording so I can be on the scene. But I realized writing a song became important. I remember a song that I wrote and pitched to Magnificent Seven. I didn't even understand what I was doing, but I was in the same game that people play today, meaning you write a song and try to get somebody else to record it, and then at some point you record it yourself or whatever. The song's, I'm sure, no good, makes no difference. That's the second thing. That began the mechanics of it, writing a song and pitching to, in a way, your heroes, because they're recording, they're putting out records. They're not just recording for TV like I was. They're making records. Even if they're just local records and they sell them at the teen hops or whatever, they're making records, and, you know, I couldn't quite tell any difference at the time. So that's the second notch. And then the third one is Bob Dylan, that emulation or that desire to be Bob Dylan, you know. I mean, I still have it. Student teacher stuff, just trying to craft something worthy of singing. And they were just horrible. I'm sure that they were just horrible, most of those songs. But time's compressed. We've been out here on the farm. We moved from having the church studio and that whole deal and the tractors and everything, I think 12 years ago. It seems like no time at all. But the things I've been talking about, from Innkeeper / Moses, just changed her name, really, and changed a couple of guys, through my first studio, which was in Stillwater, getting out of college and wanting to record so badly that I built a studio, was just for 5 years. You know, it's a lifetime built into those things. There's no easy answer to when was that first song, but those three things had real import, and you could throw in just trying to make a living, but when you couple that with getting a recording studio, then you're supposed to be doing it. You're supposed to be writing songs. I remember my favorite guys, and they still are, coming to the studio, moving down to Stillwater from Tulsa to record, probably because I was easy in terms of rates, but it was a pretty good studio. They relocated. We all had high hopes, and they were great. But they didn't write songs at all. They just were a fabulous band. They were a little older than me, and I remember a day when I lectured them and said, you guys need to learn how to write songs. Ah, we love you, Steve, and they kind of ran me out of the room. But I believed it, and I still do. Listen, my very favorite speech goes like this. Every once in a while, there's a crack in the cosmos and somebody falls through. That's Bob Dylan or Elvis or Hank Williams or the Beatles or whatever. There's a handful of those guys that don't know what they're doing. They can't explain what they're doing. Leon is one of those guys. He really did attempt to explain to himself, figure out what he was doing. But being with Leon for 40 years, off and on here and there, I'm telling you, shaking hands with him, he knew there was something different in those hands. Acoustic piano or an electric piano or whatever, when he, to use a biblical term, laid his hands on that keyboard, something else happened that is unexplainable. And I say, the rest of us are just workers. There's these people, but does that invalidate me? I'm not including you in that. You're an icon of radio, and I know it. But should I quit? Because I'm not Bob Dylan? No, I just keep trying to do it.
Here's another term. When Leon and others laid their hands on the piano, there was an anointing.
An anointing.
That's what takes place.
When the Spirit falls on you.